Amen. We go straight into the message. The title of today's sermon is what? God is faithful. Let's say that again. God. In 5 years, almost 5 years, I've been running this church. I just searched my list and actually, I've not preached on this topic. It's amazing, isn't it? I'm sure I've preached it like parts of messages, but actually I've not had a title called God is faithful. So today is a special day where I want to take you deep into the faithfulness of God. So tell yourself, say, I'm privileged to be in church today. No, let's say it away. Say, I'm privileged to be in Ealing Springs Church today. Hallelujah. So today I'll be teaching you about mercy. I'll be teaching you about grace. I'll be teaching you about the faithfulness of God. Once you can have a good picture of that, yeah? It locates you in life. Hallelujah. It secures you in life. Hallelujah. Let's start from the book of Lamentations. That's a book between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Two powerful Old Testament prophets. So that book was written by Prophet Jeremiah anyway. So after Jeremiah, you have Lamentations. We're going to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations. The Lamentations of Jeremiah. So you have Psalm, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Okay? That should be somewhere near the half of your Bible. A bit forward. Lamentations chapter 3. And we want to read verse 22 to verse 23. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and verse 23. Okay? In this church, I like people to participate and to read and to be part of the sermon. I'm a teacher. Hallelujah, by His grace. I preach also. So, we would like to read Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and verse 23. Okay, I would like you to volunteer by yourself. Okay, so who would like today? Okay, yes, our grandpa. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23.
It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not.
Hallelujah. Yes?
They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Amen. I love that scripture. It's so reassuring. Let's have it from another version. Another version, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Yes? Any other version? Okay. Sister?
Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed.
Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Yes, go on.
Because His compassions fail not.
Because His compassions fail not. Yes?
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Hallelujah. Let's have one more version. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23.
It is because of the Lord's loving kindness.
It is because of the Lord's loving kindness
that we are not consumed.
That we are not consumed.
Because His tender compassions never fail.
His compassion, yes?
They are new every morning.
You see what? There's something just coming to my spirit right now as we read it from these three versions. They say, they are new every morning. Yes, go on.
Great and beyond measure is your faithfulness.
Amen. Okay, let's dig deep into that and we move on. You see, it says it's because of God's mercies that we are not what? Consumed. So that means that every time you go to bed, you know, did you just realize that no matter how strong you are, even if you're, you know, who is the greatest boxer in the UK, you know, is Anthony Joshua or the other one? Tyson Fury? Okay, I don't know whether it's even UK. Even he had always the greatest wrestler. Do they still do wrestling? Even if you're the strongest man in the UK, the moment you lie down on your bed and you sleep, and if God has blessed you, you snore. Yeah, you are just as helpless as a baby. Hallelujah. And when you sleep, you do not have the power to wake yourself up. It's God. Hallelujah. When you are asleep, you are not in control. It's God's mercy that is watching over your life. Hallelujah. So if you've ever been in a position where you feel that God was not with you, it's a lie of the devil. The fact that you can sleep and wake up is a blessing. There are people who cannot sleep. They want to sleep, but they can't find sleep. So if I can sleep, is a what? Blessing. Now, a bigger blessing is the fact that I slept and I woke up. Hallelujah. I just want to show you how the mercy of God plays the role in all our lives. Okay? Now, let me just say this. Many times when we talk about the grace of God, or many people talk about the grace of God, they're actually talking about what? The mercy of God. Because the mercy of God is the entry point into the grace of God. Anytime you want to enter, you know, approach God, the first thing you encounter is what? Mercy. Now, let me just explain this. Both the mercy is part of grace. So when I say mercy, it's part of grace. I'm just saying it's the gate. Mercy is the gate into grace. Hallelujah. Now, God's grace is a product of God's love. Hallelujah. It's because God loves you that he provided grace to you or mercy to you. Hallelujah. If God did not love you, you will not be alive right now. I can guarantee it. You know why? Let me explain. You see, you know the devil? Anybody here know the devil? You ever heard of the devil? Satan? Yeah? Hallelujah. By the way, let me just say this. Satan doesn't just always appear like, you know, how did they print him? Yeah. A red, yeah, with horns and, a pitching fork. Hallelujah. Do you know who Satan was before he fell? He was the top angel in heaven. Do you know his name before he fell? Lucifer. You know what Lucifer means? The light bearing one. So Satan has the capability to appear to you as an angel of light. He's a deceiver. So don't get carried away. You know, something may look nice in your life, but you need to discern it whether it's of God or not. The fact that it's nice does not mean it's of God. Hallelujah. Now listen, Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Not every good gift. A gift may be good, but that doesn't mean that it is what? Perfect. We have to be discerning. You have to open your eyes and look deep into what you are saying. Otherwise, you will be deceived. Hallelujah. Now, going back to mercy. Mercy is the entry point of grace. Hallelujah. Mercy is a product of God's love. Hallelujah. The reason, you see, what we all deserve due to our sinfulness, because we are not perfect. We all make mistakes. We all do things wrong. Like I said last week, bring up a child, don't train them at all. They will turn out bad. No correction, no training, no comment. Just leave that child to itself. They will turn out bad. It is not in them to be good. Hallelujah. That's why as a parent, you spend many hours correcting and every day you must correct something in your child. Why? Because it's not in them. We do not have the power. When Adam fell into sin, we were all in Adam and we fell with him. Hallelujah. But God in his love has provided us mercy. Say to yourself, say mercy. Hallelujah. Now, through the lost mercies, we're not consumed. Even when you did not know God, God was seeking you out. Hallelujah. Even people said, oh, I don't believe in God. God still loves them. He's still seeking them. You know why? Because he's a good, good father. Hallelujah. He's a good, good father. So the first proof that God loves you is his mercy. Say to yourself, say, God loves me. Can I give you the number one proof that God loves you? You're alive. Hallelujah. You are what? Alive. Like one of my brothers would say, he said, the day God has finished his business with you, you will die. Because there's no other plan. So when you're alive, no matter where you're coming from, no matter who stole your song, you know, you wrote a song. Yeah? Spent your whole life planning that song. Then, just at the time of release, somebody stole it and went to sing it. Now, I'm speaking figuratively. I'm talking about in your life, you might have worked hard to build something. Someone comes along and messes it all up. They stole your song. Hallelujah. No matter who stole your song, no matter who made it worse, yeah? God has not finished with you. So say to yourself, say, God has not finished with me. Therefore, I do not ever need to give up. You know, if God has not given up on you, why? You don't have any right to give up on yourself. Hallelujah. It's because of the lost mercies that we're not consumed. And that's why when I wake up in the morning, I see your grace. When I go to bed at night, I say thank you, Lord. Can we sing that? When I wake up in the morning, I see your grace. When I go to bed at night, I say thank you, Lord. You know, one of the biggest steps to overcoming depression is thankfulness. Hallelujah. So when you are feeling low, you need to redirect it. Depression is a product of looking inwards. Hallelujah. Listen to that. Now, I know there are triggers. I know there are circumstances. I know there are situations that arise that bring depression. But remember this. Depression is a product of looking inwards. Now, the solution to depression is to look upward. Hallelujah. And to be thankful. Because no matter what is not going right in your life right now, there are many other things that are going right. Hallelujah. You know, that you can lift your hand and wave it is something to be thankful for. So one day I slept on my arm and then I could not drive with it. So you understand the importance of being able to lift your arm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's because of the Lord's mercy that we are not concerned. When you operate a thankful life, you have already overcome half of the devil's strategy in your life. He can't understand. Hallelujah. He can't understand people who are thankful. Hallelujah. You are going through a bad situation, yet you are thankful to God for all he has done. He can't understand. Hallelujah. And when you are thankful, you can live above the depression of this world. The world is depressed. And you know why the depression has increased? Because people have begun to look more and more inward. My space, my right, my independence, you know, my happiness, everything is mine, mine, mine. It leads to depression. Are you with me? But when we begin to look upwards, which helps us to look outwards, we overcome that. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, I will be thankful for all that God has done for me. And the greatest proof that God has not given up on you is that you can breathe. Hallelujah. If you still have that breath of life, His mercy is still at work in your life. Amen? So it is through the Lord's mercy that we are not concerned. Let me tell you another good news about mercy. Mercy is available to all. I say that's why I say a lot of people confuse grace for mercy. You know, in the church today, you know, there's a grace mercy. Grace mercy, or they call it hyper grace. So some preachers, all they want to ever teach you or tell you about is grace. And then that's good. But grace is much more than mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grace is much more than what? Mercy. Mercy is the entry point. Hallelujah. For example, John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not what? Perish. You know what it means to perish? It's not just to die. You know, you're sharing a testimony. It's not just to die. See, when you die a physical death, that's bad. Yeah. Nobody likes to die. And nobody likes to lose anybody. Amen? And in Jesus' name, the Lord will preserve you. And the Lord will preserve all those who are dear to you. And if you've gone through a loss before, the Lord will heal you and comfort you the way nobody can. Because he's a good father. Say to yourself, God is a good father. Hallelujah. You know what I like about God? His fatherhood is portable. Hello, are you listening to that? God's fatherhood is portable. Do you know me know that? If you have a physical father, they are restricted by time and space. But God's fatherhood is portable. When I'm in the bus, he's there with me. In the train, if I go to Brazil, if I go to the Arctic or the polar, his fatherhood is portable. I can cry unto him anywhere and he will be with me. Hallelujah. He's a good father. Hallelujah. One of the things that secures you most in life is to come into sonship, to embrace the fatherhood of God. And the only way you can embrace the fatherhood of God is when you receive Jesus. When you receive Jesus into your life and make him your Lord and Savior, you have embraced the fatherhood of God. That's insurance for life. Paid for completely, not by you. Jesus paid for it. But when you receive him, Bible says, as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. I don't think you ever understood sonship. Sonship means that I am no longer an object of wrath. I am an object of mercy. I have God's mercy, which is available to everybody. I have embraced it. It has become mine. Hallelujah. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it means that you accept the fatherhood of God. It means that now you are an object of mercy for life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, although God's mercy is available to everybody, God's mercy is automatic for the children of God. Now, that's what people call grace. I call it what? Mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, when I do wrong, I didn't say if. You know why I said when? I'm not planning to do wrong, okay? Do you understand? I'm just telling you I'm not perfect. Neither are you. When I do wrong, I don't run away from God. He's my father. I run to him. And I say, this is me. Help me. Hallelujah. Because he's my father. Hallelujah. Nobody can love you in this life as much as God. You know, somebody who loves you even when you're at your worst. That's love. Hallelujah. I said somebody who loves you even what? When you're at your worst is love. Someone who loves you even when he told you to do something and you did the opposite. And he's still ready to help you. Is what? Love. And that's who God is. Hallelujah. It's because of God's mercies that we are not consumed. And when you are secure in that love, your life is stable. That's the reason why you can smile every day. Sometimes the mathematics is not adding up. Sometimes the bank account is not, you know, the way you like it. Sometimes the relationships are not the way you like it. Sometimes you've done everything right. And it's still not working right. Are you with me? Have you ever been in that position? You've done everything right. And yet, it's not coming together. But when you know that God loves you and it's your father, that's security. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me? He said his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Say, God is faithful. There's a place in Psalm, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know why people run away from God? They never experience his fatherhood. Hallelujah. Some people have been in church, but they have not been taught the fatherhood of God. Hallelujah. When you experience God's fatherhood, you don't run away. You run to. Hallelujah. You run to God. Because he's able to fix your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, when you are if you are down, don't try to pad your downness with narcotics. Don't try to pad your downness with a movie or talking to a friend for 2 hours. I'm just saying, you know, I don't mean don't talk. Talk to your friends. When you are down, begin to sing unto the Lord. Don't sing, if I were a boy. Hallelujah. You may like this song, but it cannot help your soul. It can pad it. It can just pamper it. But it will leave you in a worse state than you started. Hallelujah. You sing. Of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Things are not adding up, but you are singing. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness. Things are not adding up, but he's faithful. your faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness through all generations. That's okay. You can stay there. I'll probably need you sometime. The Holy Spirit is singing today. Glory to God. When you persist, then you will switch it from that song and begin to sing, you're a good, good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. You may not feel like it. It doesn't depend on your feeling. Are you with me? Faith is not feeling. What you feel is based on your physical senses, what you can perceive physically. What you believe is based on what God has said. Faith is based on what God has said. Feelings are based on what you are experiencing. Hallelujah. You may not feel good, but you can still sing. Hallelujah. That's why you can see that your mouths are not closed. You can open them anytime. Hallelujah. May your mouth never be closed in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Are you with me? You are an object of mercy because you have received mercy. You have received Jesus. And you know what Jesus said? He said, when you receive me, I give you one promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, you may forsake me, but I'll be right there waiting for you. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Timothy. I want to show you something about the mercy of God and the grace of God. So let's go to 2 Timothy, the second one. And then finally, we go to 1 Corinthians and we round up there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to read verse 11 to 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. So, if you are there and you like to read, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. Yes, we would like to read. We would like to go around. Someone who has not read today. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I can get you a Bible. Where is the square Bible? Yes, please. We'd like everyone to have a Bible here. Yes. Anyone need a Bible? We have one. We have one for you over there. Yes. Share one. It's free. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. Who would like to read this one? Yes? Okay. So let's have another sister over there. Verse 11 to 13. Please, I want you to pay attention that God wants to show you something very important for your life here. 2 Timothy 2, 11 to 13. Yes, go on.
This is a faithful saying.
Yes.
For if we died with him, we shall also live with him.
Yes.
If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me just quickly break this down because this is important for you to understand. Now, I've talked about mercy. But you see, God's plan for you is not just to live on mercy. Now, think about it physically. Physically, in the physical world. Anybody likes to live on mercy? You go around begging on the streets every day? And that's all you wanted to do with your life? Assume that every day you begged, you got enough to survive. Do you want to just live on mercy? Anybody? Anybody? Why? Why don't you? Where's my mic? Let's have some answers. Assuming you go out on the streets every day and you get just enough to meet your basic needs. Why does this still dissatisfy you to live on mercy? Anybody bold? Yes. What is the reason?
Because begging does not dignify a person.
Okay, begging does not dignify a person. But let's assume that it's not called begging. Let's just assume that begging, it's not the begging the problem. I mean, you are able to receive just enough. Okay, let's assume you don't go out on the street. You sit at home. But you are just living on mercy, whatever, anybody can drop. You put something in front of your house and people just enough to meet your basic needs and just get through each day. But why don't you still want to just live on mercy? Yes, let's have one more. Yes, say something. I saw you saying no. Okay, say so. Yes. Why is it not good enough for you? Some people is good enough, by the way. Don't make the mistake to think that it's not good enough for everybody. For some people, it's good enough to live on what? On mercy. They are happy. Once they can just get by each day, just manage, just about managing. You know, just about managing to get through each day. Some people are happy. So, but why are you not happy with that?
Because we never know what can happen tomorrow.
Okay, so the fear of the uncertain future. Okay, let me just, because of time, let me tell you the reason. The reason why many of us are not just happy to live on mercy is because you know there's much more. Once you know there's much more, you cannot be satisfied with just living on mercy. Hallelujah. Once you know there's much more, you cannot live just your life just on mercy. And like I said last week, spiritually speaking, if all you want to do is live based on the mercy of God, you will remain a spiritual baby all your life. You fumble and wobble, go back to God, you help you, you go back again into the mud, wallow, 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 come back to God, oh, mercy, mercy, he will get you, then go back again, wallow, 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 mercy, mercy, you get it, you never grow. Hallelujah. Yet still, we all need mercy. Do you get it? Without mercy, we will all fail. But there's much more than mercy. Hallelujah. God has a better plan for your life than just to be missing it, coming back, missing it, coming back, missing it, coming back. God wants you to grow. God wants you to become like Jesus in the world. Someone who is a solution to people's problem. You know, that's another way to define Jesus. Jesus is what? The solution to people's problem. That's God's plan for your life. Hallelujah. You are not a product of accident. When you were conceived, God put a good plan for your life. Hallelujah. And that plan is much more than mercy. God wants you to be a solution to someone's problem or some people's problem. God wants you to touch lives in a way that will glorify Him. God wants you to grow, to be strong, to be stable, to be fruitful, to be flourishing. There's much more than mercy. And even then, when you still fail, mercy is waiting for you. Hallelujah. So, first and foremost, just make you understand, mercy belongs to you as a child of God. When you've received Jesus, the first thing you have received is mercy. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. That's mercy. It's a gift. But what are you to do with that life? You are to live in this world strong, stable, fruitful, flourishing. Touching lives. Becoming the Jesus to other people. Hallelujah. Most people in their life will never see Jesus until they die. Do you realize that? Have you seen Jesus? Maybe in your dreams? Don't worry. One day, you will see Him face to face. It's a glorious day. I'm looking forward. Hallelujah. But for now, I have to be the Jesus to you. And you have to be the Jesus to the people in your life. Amen? That's how they will see Jesus. That's why when Jesus was in the world, He said, I am the light of the world. Who is the light of the world? Jesus. Let's say that again. Who is the light of the world? But you read it also in Matthew that He said that. He said, no. He said, you are the light of the world. What was He saying? He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But once He went away, He put His life in us. Hallelujah. He put His life in you and I. It doesn't matter if you are struggling. The life is in you if you've received Him. And you are now the light of the world. Therefore, your light must shine. Hallelujah. Let me tell you. You know, you normally say that, you know, once you, if you want to chase darkness away, what do you need? Light. But, you know, my torchlight taught me a good lesson. You know, you ever had a torchlight? If you have a torchlight and the battery is weak, what happens to the light? When you shine it in darkness, what happens? You can't see. You still have light? Have you ever noticed it's still like a candle light? So it's not light that overcomes darkness. It's the light that shines in the darkness. that chases darkness away. And Jesus said, let your light so shine. Hallelujah. Said Jesus, say, I have to rise up on the wings of faith, take advantage of grace, and let my light shine. Hallelujah. Look what he said there. He said in 2 Timothy 2, 11, he said, if we died with him, we shall also live with him. You know why you're not yet living for Jesus? You have not died to the world. The world is still dominating your mind. You want to do every other thing that every other person who doesn't know Christ is doing. If you don't die to the world, you cannot live with him. I'm not saying physical death now. I'm saying that if all those interests are still dominating you, it makes it impossible to live for him. Hallelujah. Now, when you consider yourself dead to them, they are still there, but they don't mean anything to you anymore. They are no longer your core value. Your value system has changed. Hallelujah. You are no longer chasing the things of the world. Are you with me? Then you have died with him. Hallelujah. By faith. It's by faith. It's by faith. We die with him by faith. I die with him because he died. He died to the world. So I can't live for myself now. I have to live for him. But I found that once I started living for him, I started enjoying my life. Hallelujah. He doesn't steal my life away. He gave it back to me. Hallelujah. I gave it to him. Then he gave it back to me. And said, now I will empower you to live it in righteousness and peace and joy. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's do it one more time. Everybody sing. Peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. Don't you wanna be a... Come on. Righteousness.
Righteousness. Peace. Joy in the Holy Ghost.
In the Holy Ghost.
Righteousness, peace.
And joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you wanna be a
part of the kingdom? Don't you wanna be a part of the kingdom?
Don't you
wanna be a part of the kingdom?
Come on.
Come on, everybody.
Let me tell you something. There's love in the kingdom.
So much
genuine love
in the kingdom.
Thorough love.
There's love in the kingdom.
Come on. And there's peace.
Peace in the kingdom.
In the kingdom.
There's peace in the kingdom.
Come on.
Come on, everybody.
Don't you know I'm an heir of the kingdom? That's my inheritance. I'm an heir
of the kingdom.
I'm an heir.
Heir of the kingdom.
Come on. My identity has changed. I'm not a disaster going somewhere to happen. I'm a child, a son of the living God. Just like Jesus, walking through this life, representing the interest of the kingdom. I'm a solution to people's problem. Hallelujah. Yes, I go to trials. I go to persecutions. I go to tribulations. But I'm not going through alone. Hallelujah. Jesus is walking with me. Hallelujah. And I depend on his strength daily. That's how you take advantage of grace. When you take advantage of grace, you walk with Jesus. You don't live on mercy. You walk with what? Jesus. Hallelujah. That is the key to making the most of your life. You are not an animal, just an animal. You know, an animal just lives to eat, drink, meet all their instinctive, basic physical urges, and that's all. They don't have any plan. Ever met a monkey have a plan? for what they will do in 20 years' time? They don't. Because they are animals. You are not an animal. Hallelujah. You were created in the image of God. Hallelujah. That's why you have dreams. You have goals. You have aspirations. And much more. There is a good plan for your life, which God made. And as the only way to walk into that plan is to walk with Him. Because only Him can unveil that plan to you. And as when you are walking with Him, there's the life. Satan has nothing on you. When you are walking with God, He has nothing on you. Hallelujah. He will keep trying to find it, but he will try. Let's go back to that scripture. And I need to open the last one before we finish. So, back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. I just explained to you, if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. Look at verse 12. It says, if we endure, can we say that together? If we endure, we shall also what? Reign with Him. This is the biggest problem for many Christians. Are you listening to me? You don't want to endure. You don't want to persevere. You thought that, yes, all you need to do is press a button, everything will just fall in line. No. Anytime you make up your mind to do the will of God, opposition will arise. Sometimes it will arise from the people that are closest to you. Sometimes you may expect that the people that should actually help you, now you've made a good decision. They should help you along. They will be the people that will pull you back. Are you with me? Anytime you make up your mind to do the right thing, something always arises, whether from physical or spiritual, to discourage you. And what happens to many people is that at that point they give up. It's an identity problem, because they just say, you know what, I'm no good anyway, I just manage. Hallelujah. But Bible says that we are to endure. We endure hardship for the sake of the truth. Hallelujah. When you plant a seed, you are not going to harvest the next day. There is a waiting time between planting and what? Harvesting. What do you do in the waiting time? You endure. You persevere. You stick with it. Hallelujah. When all the feedback you are getting is negative, you what? You stick with it. When your harvest will come, they will never understand it. But they will recognize it. Now, understand, I just played with some words there. What I mean is that they will never understand how you've done it. But they will recognize that this harvest is for real. Amen. So he said, if we endure with Him, we shall also reign with Him. He's not just talking about in the world to come, in this life. If you want to reign in this life, you got to learn to persevere in doing the right thing. Hallelujah. Because your waiting time that looks so long is not as long as the pain you will feel if you give up and don't endure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me move on and break that down, and we move to the last place, the last reading. Now, this is a serious one that most people don't understand. Look at verse 12 again. If we deny Him, what will He do? I know many people never read it in their Bible. Or they read it and threw it away. And that one is not for me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You can't cherry pick the Bible. The whole Bible is the Word of God. Hallelujah. If we deny Him, if we what? If we deny us. Let me try to explain in a way that you understand. You see, this is the way it is. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah? Now, God does not change. He stays there. He's for you. He's ready. Always ready to help you. Always ready to guide you. Always ready to make, you know, show you the way. If you walk away, He's still waiting. There. He doesn't turn His back on you. He's just waiting for you to come back home. Hallelujah. When you come back home, He will still receive you. He will still help you. Hallelujah. But He cannot vouch for you when you're outside of His will. He can't. Because He will be breaking His word. Are you with me? God cannot vouch for you when you're outside of His will. But He will be waiting for you to come back. And not only that, He will also still send people to help you. That's mercy. He will send people to help you along the way to bring you back. Hallelujah. He will never give all on you. But if you deny him, you are on your own. Are you with me? So you see, we have a responsibility to take advantage of grace. If you sit back and do nothing, yeah, grace will pass you by. Did you know that? Grace will pass you by if you do nothing to grace. You must receive it. You must embrace it. You must make use of it. Then it produces the fruit you want. Hallelujah. And finally, not finally for today, but finally in 2 Timothy, if we are faithless, it remains. Why? Why does it remain faithful? Let me ask you one good question. Okay. How many people in this church believe that God is faithful to them? Yeah, put up your hands. Put your proudly. Hallelujah. I'll put mine up too. Hallelujah. Can I ask you a question? Why do you believe that God is faithful to you? Let's have one or two answers. Why do you believe that God is faithful to you? Yes. Yes. Just say. It's some, your personal opinion, no perfect answer. Why do you believe that God is faithful to you?
It was something you guys said this morning. No matter what you go through, any trials, any tribulations, you're still here, you're still breathing, you still have life, and you just have to be thankful.
Amen. To God. Amen. Thank you for listening. God bless you. You see, the blessing always applies to someone who listens to the word of God and then applies it. Hallelujah. That's where the blessing is. Amen. Any other answer? Why do you believe that God is faithful to you? To you personally? Why? No other. Okay. Just one more answer. Why do you believe that God is faithful to you? I mean, we sang it in the hymn today, yeah? Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Why?
Even the times I've been unfaithful to God, he still comes through for me.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let me just blow your mind today so that you see. Now, let's have that from Amplified Version. 2 Timothy 2:13, Amplified. Yes, anybody have Amplified Version here today? Anybody have Amplified Version? 2 Timothy 2:13, Amplified. Let's look deeper into the meaning of that statement. Chapter 2, verse 13, Amplified Version.
If we are faithless,
He
remains faithful.
He remains faithful.
True to his word and
word and his righteous character.
For he cannot deny himself.
So, primarily, it's not you that God is faithful to. Secondarily, he's faithful to you. But primarily, he's faithful to his word and his righteous character. For he cannot deny who he is. Amen? Now, secondarily, he's faithful to you. But there's condition. For God to remain faithful to you 100%, you have to abide in his word. Amen? Because that's what he's faithful to. Amen? Now, no matter what I'm going through, if I hold on to God's word, I abide in it, I remain in it, I cling on to it, and I live it, I can be sure that I will win at the end of the day. Because God is faithful to his word. His word is forever settled in heaven. He cannot change it, he cannot break it. Hallelujah. God's word is law. Hallelujah. Now, when you go off and drift, and do your own thing, God cannot be faithful to your own thing. But you know what he does for you? He gives you mercy. Everybody say mercy. Hallelujah. You went off and did everything you should not do, but God still helped you. That's mercy. Hallelujah. None of us could make it without mercy. But if you want to move forward, you need more than mercy. You need to begin to abide in his word. Then your life will start moving forward gigantically in the right direction. Hallelujah. There is no force on earth that can stop God in your life if you are abiding in his word. They will try, but they can't. They can't. Let me give you one trick. One insight. Sorry, not a trick. The devil does not understand the word of God. Let me say this way. Are you with me? The devil, he doesn't understand the word of God. So every time you're operating in the word of God, he is confused. His strategies become destabilized. Because you are walking in that word. Anytime you are walking in the word of God, you are walking in the light. Darkness cannot stand you. Hallelujah. But to walk in the word, you have to persevere. Please turn to your neighbor, say, persevere. Don't give up. Don't give in. Just stick with it. Amen? Okay, finally, we round up in 5 minutes. I wanted to show you something about God's faithfulness again. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So that's the last place I'm reading today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse, am I in the right place? Yes, I believe so. Verse 12 and 13. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Let's have someone who has not read today. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. That's the last place we're reading from. Sister, you've been so quiet today. What happened? Okay. Do you want to try or not yet? You ready? Okay. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. The last place we open.
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth,
he who thinks he standing,
take heed,
should take heed,
lest he fall.
Otherwise, yes, go on. That's not where we're going to, but it's a good starting point. Now, look at 13.
There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man.
Please pause. I want to explain it in the way that you understand. There is no situation you've gone through or you're going through right now, yeah, that you are the only one that ever went through it. Are you with me? The devil likes to make you think like that because he likes to make you feel that you are unworthy, you have no value, you are nothing. It's a lie. There is nothing you are going through or going through that is unique to you. Amen? 3,000 years ago, someone went through it. 3,000 years ago, not even yesterday. Hallelujah. So that doesn't necessarily have to devalue you as you see what... Because God believes in you, even at your worst. But devil tells you, oh, because of everything you've gone through, everything that's happened to you, you are nothing. It's normal. When the devil wants to talk to you, you know, the first the gospel according to Satan. You know, we talk about the good news. In the gospel according to Satan, the first thing he tells you is that you have no value, you are nothing. You are useless, empty, dirty, unworthy. Because what he tries to do is to destroy your self-portrait inside, the way you see yourself. If you see yourself as no value, he's got you. Hallelujah. And that's why when God wants to come to your life, he gives you mercy. And he accepts you like a good father. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And he has all the power and all the resources to transform your life from wherever you are now to where he wants you to be. Your job is to cooperate with him. There's nothing you can bring to God that will satisfy God. Everything you need to make it is in God. What he needs is your cooperation. Hallelujah. Are you with me? What he needs is your cooperation. Hallelujah. What he needs is your faith. What he needs is your obedience in that walking with him. Then everything you need will be released and you just find out that your life is changed. Hallelujah. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens step by step of faith and obedience. You begin to walk that journey from glory to glory. Please continue reading.
But God is faithful.
God is faithful. You see, what I like about 1 Corinthians 10, 13 is that God is telling you that no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, no matter the temptation, God is faithful. God is what? No matter. God is faithful. Hallelujah. It means that even in the worst of circumstances, God still got your back. If only you can choose to walk with him. Hallelujah. That's what you miss. Then you have to walk with him and endure with him. Hallelujah. There is an endurance before glory. There is an endurance before glory. We live in a fast food age. But in the kingdom, there is an endurance before glory. Please continue, finish it.
But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able.
He will never. Anything that ever came your way, yeah? God will never allow anything that will come your way that there's nothing you can do about it. Okay, now, imagine something has happened to you and you're in a mess. Yeah? Even then, there's something that can be done. Amen? Nothing is... The day that something will happen to you that nothing can be done, God has given up on you. And God will not give up on you because his mercies, they never come to an end. So it means that wherever I find myself in my journey, I must still pick myself up and walk with God. Hallelujah. Walking with God is my guarantee that I will not remain where I am. And walking with God is the guarantee that I will not keep going round in circles. Hallelujah. He will make, let's finish it. He will not allow you to be tempted about what you can bear. But one more thing, tell me.
But will with the temptation.
With the temptation.
Also make a way to escape.
Yes.
That ye may be able to bear it.
That's the final part of that message there. I just explained it, but let me say it a different way. Anywhere you are in your journey, it doesn't matter where you actually missed it and messed up, or maybe you didn't miss it, but somebody stole your song. You know, sometimes you are doing your best, but somebody comes along and just steals your most valuable possession, whatever it is. Even then, God will make a way of escape. There is always going to be a way of escape. But the problem is not that whether there's a way of escape. The problem is you finding that way and walking with it. And the solution to finding the way of escape is just to keep looking up and letting God be part of that situation and follow him in faith and obedience. Your disobedience might have led you into a pit, but it's your faith and obedience that will take you out of that pit. Hallelujah. You don't need to even wallow in the pit, because God will make a way of escape from whatever the situation is. Hallelujah. Let me just finish on this note. You know what God did to the devil? It's like football. Yeah? You know, anybody play, love, watch football here? Yes? Okay. I assume you can, connect with football. You're playing football with your opponent, and because you're so good, first half, you send your goalkeeper on recess. Retire half of your players. So instead of 11, you are playing 5 players against this team with 11 players and 1 goalkeeper. But you have no goalkeeper. 5 players. Do your worst. Opposite team, do your worst. So they play. Maybe they just managed to get in 10 goals. It has never happened before that somebody scored. I'm not saying that. I'm just, it's a drama. It has never happened before that somebody scored 10 goals in the first half. They say to them, they can never. Even if God were to come down, there's no way they can win. Hallelujah. Second half, 5 players are substituted. God brings in 4 players and a goalkeeper, a super goalkeeper, and a super striker. Hallelujah. Still 5 players. And despite their worst, everything they did was canceled out and they lost. Hallelujah. That's what God did. He came down as Jesus. He had all the power. He did all the miracles. Then he submitted himself to be killed. Even on the cross, he had the power. He just submitted himself. Just finish me. They finished his body. And they finished him. Complete. And I can imagine that night, all the demons were laughing. Ha, ha, ha. We got it. It's over. Hallelujah. He went to hell. Jesus went to hell for you. He went to hell because on the cross he was bearing the sin of everybody. He went to hell. They just locked the gate of hell. Yeah, we got him. We got him forever. That's it. We won. Hallelujah. But on the third day, the power of the Holy Spirit caused a commotion in hell. Hallelujah. What was impossible became possible. But not just that. That was just the first strike. That's not the, Then as he rose, he began to give new life. to all the captives of Satan. New life, new life. Hallelujah. He reproduced himself in us. Hallelujah. So when the devil is at his worst, God is able to do his best. Hallelujah. And the worst of the devil can never compare to the best of God. What you need is faith and obedience. Hallelujah. We're going to pray now. I believe that God has spoken to you. Hallelujah. The last thing, the one thing you must ever do with your life is stop having faith and stop using your faith. It's your greatest weapon. Your faith and your obedience is your greatest weapon. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Talk to God today before we sing. Talk to God. I perceive in my spirit that I was putting that message. God was touching everybody in one part of their life. There's some part of your life that you hurt or that you are struggled. But God was touching you, speaking to you. Begin to respond to God. Say, Jesus, I need you. Come in, take your place. I yield myself to you. I surrender myself to you. I open up my life to you. What is that situation now that you've given up on? And you have resigned to nothing. Begin to let God in and say, God, I have faith in you. I'm confident in you. You will do it. I will walk with you. I will yield to you. I will believe and I will obey until you fix my life right. And you use me to fix other people's lives. Hallelujah. Because God is faithful to his word and to his righteous character. He cannot deny himself. Hallelujah. As you are doing that, God's miracle is already begun in your life. There's a change. There's a transformation. Your story has changed. Hallelujah. In due season, people will celebrate you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Like the sun that rises every day, you are so faithful, Lord, you are faithful. Like the rain, Lord, to every beat of my life, you're so faithful, you are so faithful, Lord. I see your cross and the price you have to pay. Hallelujah. I see your blood that washed my sins away. In the midst of the storm, through the wind and the waves.